call the City of Franklin's Plan Commission to order. Mr. Fuchs, will you please take the roll?
Commissioner Micklegg?
Here.
Commissioner Ritter?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Here.
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Commissioner Bennett?
Here.
Alderman Solomon?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler?
Here.
Please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I think the reason that our meetings are taking so long to take all the stuff up with that log is that.
That's right. Yeah. I'm just about as old as Jack, so you can understand.
Well, let me first thank you all for braving the cold on behalf of the citizens of Franklin to be here tonight. Item 2 is approval of the minutes. Regular meeting Thursday, January 17th. Is there any discussion, questions, comments?
Second.
So moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 3, public hearings, business items. Item A, TDI Associates, Inc., Forest View 42-unit residential apartment development. Mr. Deedle?
There is a public hearing on this matter. Mitch's ready to read the public hearing notice.
Okay. Do we want to have a presentation first?
Or? Sure. Yeah. Sure. I'll do the short one, and you guys can do a longer one afterwards. So really quick, this project is an apartment project, but it was previously approved as a condo development back in 2006. Very similar to the condo development. There are some changes, mostly related to the buildings are slightly smaller than previous. There have been some architectural changes to the building, some site plan changes. For instance, there was a fire lane in the center part of the development that's been removed. They have reduced the amount of landscaping, but otherwise very similar to the previous project. This is zoned R8, so it will be a special use. There are a number of conditions in the staff's recommended approval for this project. The only other things I would think that would be interesting to note would be from the prior approval as the condo development, it was agreed at that time that the applicant or the property owner here would improve 60th Street, a portion of 60th Street that goes up to their development, and install a portion of the Oakleaf Trail that would be on the west side of 60th Street. Otherwise, it's pretty straightforward.
So to connect it where it's by the sports complex now, and then take it all the way up?
So I believe there'll still be a segment where people would have to go on the road, but now you'll be able to get closer to the actual trail, and someday I suspect it would be all good.
Just a question before we open it up for public hearing. You noticed in the Berlin recently they've had some developments, apartment developments. And then I just noticed, I think it's in Oak Creek, they're to the east of us, right?
Yeah.
That there's some sort of a proposal for 650 apartment units in a TIF district.
Yeah, this is not a TIF district.
Okay.
So Okay.
We're not going to spend $19 million on it. Right. Okay. Thank you. If you could, please state your name and address for the record.
Rob Williams, TDI Associates.
Approvals of six, similar to Fishman 7.
So it's a familiar site. A lot of the improvements were made on the site. The works to start there, the sewer water main roadway was put in, the stormwater pond was built, upgrading the natural resources. There was some wetland built for the entrance on the 60th. That was all completed in the economy at that time. So the current home property owner is proposing the apartment. We have the same building layout as previous. The units got a little bit smaller square footage, 1,280 square feet on the first floor, or 1,500 square feet on the second floor. Car garages, separate entries, two-bath on the first floor, three-bedroom, two-bath on the second floor. Other than that, we did change the landscape. The original proposal had a lot of landscaping, a lot more landscaping than the part by the forward, and pretty much evenly distributed across the site. New proposal, there's a little bit of a question there on meeting the code, but we tried to do the amount of plants per the code with an emphasis on the east property line separating the existing development in that direction. So there's much heavier evergreen deciduous planting to provide a screen right away to those neighbors. There is a question on the staff report. We're asking for to be able to switch out ornamental trees and evergreen trees for the required deciduous date trees. The UDO doesn't specifically allow that switch out, but due to the large amount of deciduous existing wooded areas around this development, we'd like to do more of the evergreen to provide that screening and ornamental trees that we're adding planting to allow us to basically switch out the 18 required deciduous trees that we're using. This was, the buildings were presented to the committee of the whole, and we took some of the recommendations and we added brick to that building from what had originally seen. We extended the brick up to the second floor. They just kind of asked us to do a brick to the first floor level, but we brought brick up to the second floor in more spots where it's more prominent. So you can see the brick. We've also added some different roof elements on the front garages, some windows that actually end up being at the staircase of this upper unit, so it allows lighting to that second floor unit. We do have vinyl siding called out on this project, and I know staff is part of the request to change it to cement board siding. We would ask permission to allow us to get the vinyl siding. The cement board still has some maintenance issues that still will need to be painted. The developer's looking at it financially, trying to make this project a feasible project for himself. I think the vinyl siding is still aesthetically pleasing product with the amount of brick that's on there. So we could ask to look at that. The other item that got brought up is we have a sign at the entry for the project, a small ground sign. Due to the staff's request to put in some light poles for the parking areas on the site, which we're fine to do. Now that we have power, that we post that sign, the developer is looking at possibly lighting that sign, either at the ground floodlight or possibly put another pole light up there. Just kind of want to bring that up so it's not, you know, we want to let it be to light that sign.
I think when this was first brought in, the rationale for moving from condominiums to apartments had a lot to do with the market, and that pretty similar to what Clara Meadows had to go through. They changed from condos, the sisters over on 51st Street, to apartments. And the rationale for that is, I guess, there's just a glut of condominiums that aren't selling. And so you're coming in with a proposal that's similar to many proposals that are being offered in all these other municipalities to convert to the apartments. Because, I don't think it's a big secret that we as a planning commission would much prefer having condominiums and condominiums that have some real value to it. But I guess like our sister city to the east, they've done some, we've gone to some real estate conventions and things like that. They've had to adjust all of their perspective on things. So is, did I hear this right, that it's because of the market? So.
Because, yeah, the condominiums are not selling, you know, party financing. The developer is building these. The layout is very similar to how the condos were built, you know, the actual unit layouts, 200 degrees. He's building these in this way that you can convert them back to condos and park them back to the rather than the condos. So, you know, it's the units are still much larger than the typical apartments. You know, that we've shown that he's making the amenities are the size of the building that will be apartment building a lot of things like 16 and building 24. He's building these like a condo project, but the market doesn't allow us to launch the rent down. Someday the market comes back. And so he's got to basically.
What's the starting rental?
$1,200 $1,250 to $1,550 I feel will be the rate.
I guess the last question is my recollection is that both in my initial meeting and I think at the concept review, council members asked that this go back and that there be a neighborhood meeting with. I can't remember the project that's up the hill from you.
We did have a neighborhood meeting.
Okay.
There was three or four individuals that showed up.
Alderman there?
No.
No.
Kevin showed up briefly before the end meeting at the same time.
Yeah, you never know where he's going to come from.
Okay. But at all, he's a representative of county. The residents that showed up, their biggest concern was actually noise. Apparently, the pumphouse at the bottom of the blue further north, they made noise from the wall side of that apartment that facility that you hear them at summer or whatever. And it's kind of a small apartment in the clubhouse, you know, the gathering area of residents and the noise.
So, we shouldn't expect 400 or 500 screaming people at the common council meeting saying they never met with us.
No, we invited.
I understand.
We invited every. I think gave us a large list.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm just wondering if there's. I don't see anyone from the condo association. In my recollection, with that particular group over there, they're not bashful about sharing their opinions. So, okay. Any other questions?
I see in the staff's recommendations they mentioned the Oak Leaf Trail, paving the Oak Leaf Trail. Have you discussed that? Is that agreed to and everything?
That is agreed to as part of the original development agreement, I believe, and that the improvements itself is to handle the trail.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Bennett?
Yes, if you recall, we mothballed the development agreement a couple of years ago. And so the development agreement would have to be brought back because they have to extend 60th Street. The county has dedicated that as a public street, that's their access. So the original development agreement included that. So that will need to be brought back.
Is there a problem with that? Or?
No, there's no reason. I guess I didn't realize that it expired or whatever. So, whatever reason you're
going to. If you could, please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Ivan Malau, and I'm one of the partners in the partnership. As you recall, Mr. Bennett, we have basically still the level of credit in place. And the money are sitting. And we obviously intend to do that. That was their agreement. And whatever paperwork we need to do, but this will be done simultaneously with that. And I have no problem with the recommendation that I cannot get occupancy unless those things are done.
Mr. Haley?
As to the landscape plan, switching to more evergreens, I've looked at it, makes sense, especially along these property lines. You've still got a good mix of both, so I don't think there's any harm done there. And I would just remind folks that if my memory serves me, there's still some wetland mitigation that needs to be done relative to that original wetland impact.
Is that for the bike path? Or?
No, it was for where their roadway went in. They actually had to impact some wetlands, and I believe had a natural resource special exception. They're called for a very small quantity of mitigation.
It was 0.35 acres from my rep. But wetland mitigation.
It goes way back to when we were on environmental commission.
Yes, it does.
I'm aware.
Any other comments or questions before I open it up for public hearing? If not, I'm going to open up item 3A, TDI Associates, Inc., Forest View 42-unit residential apartment development, and the public notice was read. Are there any interested parties? It wasn't read. Mr. Fuchs, could you please read the notice?
Notice is hereby given that the Planning Commission of the City of Franklin will conduct a public hearing on Thursday, February 7, 2013, at 7 p.m. or soon thereafter as the matter may be heard in the County Council Chambers of Franklin City Hall, 9229 West Loomis Road, Franklin, Wisconsin, 53132, to hear public comment regarding an application by TDI Associates, Inc. for a special use to allow for the development of a 42-unit residential apartment use upon properties in the R8 Multiple Family Residence District, C1 Conservancy District, and FC Floodplain Conservancy District, located approximately South 60th Street and West Ryan Road.
All right, public notice has been read. Again, I will open this up for public hearing. Are there any parties wishing to speak during the public hearing regarding item 3A, TDI Associates, Inc.? Are there any interested parties wishing to speak regarding item 3A? Are there any parties wishing to speak during the public hearing on item 3A, TDI Associates, Inc.? Seeing none, I'm going to close the public hearing and turn it back to either Mr. Deedle or to the plan commissioners. Mr. Deedle, what's your desire?
Staff is recommending approval. We have a number of conditions in the resolution as well. We touched on most of them. I think the applicant did raise that one issue about the siding on the building. They're not comfortable with staff's recommendation for that cedar board. So again, that's a decision and choice by the Planning Commission and Common Council. I guess the other ones that haven't been touched on is that fire lane. We haven't gotten comments yet from the fire department, and we suspect we need those comments, so if they're to find out if they're comfortable with removing that fire lane. So that's a condition that's in there as well.
Are they totally removing it, or are they going to put in a something like we have over at the Indian Community School?
At this point, totally removing it.
Oh, okay.
And I think the only other thing to mention is, and it was touched on briefly, was the lights. There's a parking lot that's closest to 60th Street. We think they could get dark at night, and so we were recommending that there be some lights. That
got odds on that, getting dark at night?
Yeah, I bet.
You're a planning manager, aren't you?
Yes. Unless there's a sporting event at the sports complex, then it might be right.
I couldn't let you go. Mr. Fowler?
I just a question either for staff or the developer. Under the National Resource Protection Plan, do you have a recommendation for the October 3rd, 2012 delineations by Stantec to replace some of the older delineations? I would want to see that happen, get a more accurate depiction of those wetlands.
And
also the conservation easement to be sure that we have enforcement that we can make sure that those type of conservation is enforced.
Does this require any testimony to be given or any swearing in of witnesses?
Only if this was a natural resource special exception.
Okay.
I do have another question.
I wasn't through with you. Since a unified development ordinance has been in place, how many hearings did we have where we took testimony?
I believe there were 13 natural resource special exceptions since that requirement was put into the ordinance. We didn't take testimony on any of them except for the last one.
Okay. Thank you. Alderman Olds. I almost called you Alderman Olds. Hi.
Looks like.
Boy, it's been one of those days.
Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Is there a problem with the siding requested by staff? What is the logic behind that?
Well, we're looking at it as a maintenance issue. The plywood board will be going to begin for a final site. Must be in this tree. There is a small cost difference. The developer is just trying to build these as nice as they can be and still make the apartment work. So we've got the vinyl siding at this point.
I can add something to this. I already took a shot prior of increasing the break the way it was, and in order for this to go forward, regardless of what moving or not, eventually somebody has to put in approximately $4.5 million to build the units. If that's an institution or a private guy, either way, if there is no at least 6-7% cap return, in other words, nobody will pull the trigger. So I don't want to pull something then I never pulled the trigger and I never built. So I did anything I could to, because building 4 families, 6 with 2 car garages and 8 families, it's a very close call to make work with the rents, obviously, that we're hoping to get and everything else. So I would like to have all over the place if I could. You know, I love beautiful things too, but I also like to be able to build them.
Understand.
Because once I get out the job, then you can say, why did you do that ahead of time? Well, I did it once. Nobody pays attention to give you exact prices, very close prices, unless you haven't approved it, and then they're wasting their time. So I actually want to approve something that I can actually move forward. So by me locking myself up to putting all these nice things, I might end up saying, and then, oops, it's $5.2 million, then you're going to say, just the siding, but there is so much that goes into these 42 units. There is the road, there is the trail, there is the trees, the siding. I mean, there's so much into it that I'm just trying to make it happen.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Mr. Ritter?
Just a question for staff. We had a new draft of resolution at our desk tonight. It looks like the changes are from TDI and Associates to Forestry Financial Partnership. Are there relative to the minor technical things, or are there any other significant things that we should be aware of?
It would be resolution, I believe that's going in.
City attorney? It
took a while, but it was requested by the applicant to change the applicant to the owner of the property. It's the owner, and so we're having a motion to approve the change. That's all that it is. It's a major change.
Mr. Deedle?
Was the applicant asking landscaping, not to plant those additional trees at all, or to be allowed to change them from shade trees to green decorative?
Our plan has additional evergreen and ornamental trees that we're asking those to be allowed to count towards the required decision.
So I believe our numbers already reflect that, though.
So is the applicant requesting to strike condition number 8 and allow for the landscape plan as ornamental?
That's correct.
Anything else?
So yeah, those two issues, I guess the applicant would like to remove those two conditions. One about the siding and the one about the landscape. Staff's recommendation would stay the same as in the resolution.
Okay. Well, I have two motions to offer. I'll just offer the first one. That's a motion to approve amending the special use application. Change the name of the applicant from TDI Associates, Inc. to Forest View -Franklin Limited Partnership. Is there a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second, any further discussion? Mr. Bennett.
Can you explain if that includes what they want or doesn't include it?
That would be the next motion.
That's the next man. Okay.
So we're going to have two motions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have no question.
No questions for the witness.
So the motion is different just to approve the solution
name
as it exists?
No,
this is just the name change. I'll do it again. Is there a motion to approve amending the special use application to change the name of the applicant from TDI Associates, Inc. to Forest View - Franklin Limited Partnership?
I so moved.
I'll second.
A motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Then I have another suggested motion, and that would be a motion to recommend approval of a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for a 42-unit residential apartment use upon property located at approximately South 60th Street and West Ryan Road. And aren't there with the two changes? That
if the Plan Commission wishes.
If the Plan Commission wishes to take two changes.
Number 8 and 10. Number 8 and number 10. Commission number 8.
If the Plan Commission wishes to remove items 8 and 10. Is there a motion to that effect?
I will make the motion with removing condition 10. I would like to discuss condition 10 or condition 8 because I'm not sure I really understand it.
Well, maybe the motion is too premature. So, let's just discuss it.
Okay. If you elaborate on usually part, evidential strings of revised lights, landscaping planning for the department prior to the issues that includes an additional 19 shade trees. Or that provides for a 3-year planting guarantee, adds additional planting to any natural resource behavior, increases the size of the fence or combination thereof. So you are flexible. Is there, it doesn't necessarily require them to put in the additional 19 trees, but it does require them to meet the conditions here. So we're not saying absolutely you have to put in those additional 19 trees. So you really take this out, or is there something else that we should?
We were trying to give the applicant as much flexibility as we could so that staff and the applicant would choose which one of those they wanted, or unless the Plan Commission determined they wanted one.
I think I would support the 3-year planning guarantee. Yes, and not a reasonable thing at all. Additional planning within that. So it's got the flexibility of order. I just want to make it clear that I would agree with the changing of the deciduous trees to evergreens with the mix they have. But I, like I said, I think it could be the end of the 3-year plan here.
I would support that.
Our current plan does have a 3-year plan guarantee. So, our plan basically had 19 additional trees. I believe staff's comment there was since UDO doesn't accept us changing evergreens.
The city attorney?
Mr. Deedle, is shade, quote, shade, close quote, tree divided the UDO?
I think so. I know they give examples.
They have three.
Otherwise, I would just say strike the word shade and then leave.
My question was answered.
Okay, Mr. Deedle.
I would suggest striking after issuance of a building permit that strike includes an additional 19 shade trees or that.
Did you want to make the motion?
I will make the motion within striking condition 10 and revising condition 8 as just stated.
Okay. Motion of, is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Is there any further discussion? Would you like the motion read back by Mr. Fuchs? I will.
Is a motion to recommend approval of a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for a 42-unit residential apartment use on property located approximately South 60th Street and West Ryan Road, subject to removing item number 10 and revised condition number 8 to read as follows. Applicant shall submit a revised landscape plan for Department of City Development staff approval prior to the issuance of a building permit that provides for a three-year planting guarantee, adds additional planting within protected natural resource areas, increases the size of the planting, or a combination thereof.
Okay. Motion on the floor has been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, gentlemen.
And if you have any questions or any other matters, just feel free to give me a call. Next is item B, Joseph R. Hazelow and Don M. Olin. Mr. Deal?
Mainly we just wanted to give you a heads up. This was concept review before the Common Council last Tuesday. The applicant is asking to formalize the situation that exists on the property right now. It's zoned R3, which only allows one single-family residential house on it. It has at least two of them on there right now. There are other issues as well. The accessory structures on that property, and there's a number of them. Some of them are larger than are allowed by the ordinance as well. The applicant would like to buy the property and keep that situation, but probably remove some of the buildings over time and replace them with other ones, including the dwellings as well, not just the accessory structures. To do that, there's a lot of options, a lot of different options. None of them were perfect. They all have their pros and cons. There are UDO text amendments for definitions of guest house. There's UDO changes to allow multiple dwellings in the R3 district. The one that staff was tentatively leaning towards was creating a PDD. There's a PDD, PDD type for multifamily developments. That one wouldn't be perfect either, but that's the one we were leaning towards, primarily because of the flexibility allowed in it, that whatever issues might have come up with the neighbors would be able to be put into that PDD to address those issues. However, the applicant noted another option, and the mayor had pointed out to staff as well that this idea has been bounced around once before, creating a new residential zoning district for estate-type residential developments, where they could allow, would be a permitted use to have multiple principal dwellings on it, multiple accessory structures, probably a larger lot size, probably an allowance for larger multiple accessory structures. And that was the one that the Common Council liked the most. So they directed staff to pursue that option. So primarily, we're just letting you know that that'll be coming down for your review at some point in the near future. We haven't gotten very far in our research. We're looking for one that we can use instead of inventing it from reinventing the wheel. And we only looked at the neighboring communities, and nobody has one, so now we're looking further. So the applicant is here if you have any questions. There will be no action necessary tonight, but they will be coming back for Plan Commission review and eventual public hearing.
Okay. Mr. Fowler?
This area is not sewer.
No, but there is sewer and water nearby, and the applicant is open to hooking up to that sewer and water. Very preliminary discussions, and there was a comment or two at the Common Council. It may be a requirement that this district require public sewer, and then the public water policy that the council has now would apply to this situation as well, where if they didn't want public water, they would petition the council.
The water, I'm not so concerned about, but the septic systems on multiple dwellings on a lot. You're going to go to an estate and allow for additional structures to be placed on a lot. My concern would be your neighbors. Septic systems have a 100% failing rate in the state of Wisconsin. I believe it's almost 100% that fail over a period of time if you're not maintained. So I would suggest, if you're going to have multiple, to keep peace with your neighbors. And also, the city would probably find it in our best interest to have it be sewered at some. Plus, in the evidence of disclosure, I do work for the Milwaukee Sewer District. So. Doesn't help us any.
You disguised it well.
I disguised it well.
I guess I'll just a couple things. That said, this is here for informational purposes, so that the plan commission actually knows what occurred at the common council meeting the other night, Mr. Deal.
Correct.
But I just want to clarify some statements that I made the other night. I do know Mr. Haslow. Worked, in fact, I appointed him to Ford Economic Development Commission. And worked together on not approving the, what was it? The, it was a trucking firm.
USF Holland.
USF Holland. Instead, through everyone's efforts, we got that beautiful hospital out there that's doing quite well. But my rationale for supporting this is there's a beautiful stand of trees right on 51st Street across from the Fremming Park. It, from my perspective, it makes the neighborhood. I think it would be terrible if somehow those trees were not preserved, or as many as you can. I understand you can't preserve all of them. But I also I stated the other night that this isn't it's not a personal issue. This is a business item, business for the city, good business, the way I see this. The city, I wasn't around at the time, but created zoning classifications which produced Windham Hills and Stonehenge and River Terrace and a few others, Avion probably, sort of. My understanding is the rationale for creating those zoning classifications was to allow individuals that may want to build businesses in our business park that they would have homes close to the business park. And it worked very, very well. And so this classification may indeed, let's say you take it to a next step. Let's, I don't know which particular corporation. Let's say Kohl's Corporation and Mr. Kohl's wanted to be close to Kohl's Corporation in Franklin. This might be the thing that clinches the deal where Mr. Kohl and his family might want to build a nice residential estate like they have out in River Hills. And as a result of that, the city of Franklin benefits greatly by having that type of commercial development that's going to be in its community. So while we have this instant matter of the Haslows in front of us, the larger issue is this creation of this estate of in perhaps the portions of the southwest quadrant of our city. So I think I know the president of River Hills pretty well, Bob Brunner, and there's not a whole lot of homes on River Hills, probably 600 or so, something like that. But it's pretty nice. So, and you seem to, the people that live there seem to have some pretty nice businesses downtown. I think this would be very good for the city long term. Mr. Haley.
I'd like to echo those thoughts. I really support what the council, the direction that they gave to staff. A little different angle on it, though. A couple of meetings back, we got a report on the population in Franklin aging. This also presents a great opportunity for families to stay together on family estates, for the elderly potentially to stay in Franklin longer rather than having to move out. And I've often thought that this is the sort of thing that probably fits in well with our future development of having a tier of lots available where families supported by generations and their caretakers can stay together.
Thank you. That's a very good point. I think Alderman Olson made an argument like that, maybe Alderman Solomon the other night, too. Alderman Solomon?
I'd just like to report that the Common Council was 100% behind this proposal. And I do believe the comment was made to Joel by myself to get her done. And hopefully we'll have something in front of us in the next month or so. So hopefully we can make it happen. And there isn't any reason, as Kevin indicated, that there aren't some areas in this community that can, especially with larger lots, make this happen for multiple dwellings, for in-laws, outlaws, or whatever you want to call them, but there isn't any reason that that can't happen here.
Mr. Bickley?
I'm going to go down the same road. Mr. Hazel actually shared this with me last week, and obviously I like the idea because the aging population, people living longer, want to keep them together, find a way to do that. Also, if you have a son with special needs who, you know, God love him being in the house and everything, but I'd like to put him, you know, at a little bit of a remove when he gets a little older. That would be nice to do. So if we don't do this now, we have to do this at some point. So let's hope Mr. Haslow is patient enough to go through the process so we can get this done.
All right. Mr. Haslow, I would have to ask you to state your name and address for the record.
Joe Haslow, 9864 South Christmas Street, So my wife Dawn and I are here, and Dawn doesn't like muffin talk in public because she spends all day doing it. Yeah, it's a lot of fun for her, but she didn't do more. So what you have in front of you, I hope, is a rather lengthy description of what we're trying to do. If I can take a minute, I want to explain you kind of the motivations behind it a bit for this particular parcel. So it is 11 and a half acres. It is across from Fleming Park, which is a great place. It's relatively high. I was fortunate enough to have a little bit of natural plant expertise walk the property recently, so that was good. I found out that there's good quality plant life there that's native to Wisconsin. So Dawn and I are both very interested in trying to conserve as much of that as we can. That is important. At the same time, we do intend to develop it depending upon what the property has in the way of kind of longevity left in structures. So there are four buildings there today. There is a main house, which my father and my stepmom love. So part of our intent is multi-generational. So that is part of the picture for us. We cared for Dawn's dad in our home until he passed in 2011. That was a fine circumstance for my father-in-law. So he was willing to do that. My father's cut from a different cloth, loves his son, would love to be close by, would not love to be under the same roof. I don't know why, I think that's great. Yet, he and my stepmom decided that being 30 feet away is fabulous, being 5 feet away on the other side of the door, not so bad. Okay. So we're trying to get that. And that makes sense. And this property has that characteristic to it. As I said, they love the main house, not the guest house. The guest house has problems. It's got a curling roof. It's got a bunch of other stuff to it. The main house has challenges, too. It's got a basement. It's got some water issues. And some of the other structures are aging, too. We want to preserve them. We want to maintain the property as it is to make it possible and improve it. What's likely for us is we want to put in what I would call a recreational structure first. Recreational structure would mean it's big. Houses an in-ground pool, and probably an in-ground basketball court. It would be made very nicely. It's going to cost us a pretty penny to do it, but we're wanting to step into that first. That's the time that the sewer didn't end up. So we took a walk to see what would be the probable route for sewer and water from the southwestern corner of the lot. We saw we had to shoot between some trees and not fill as many. And so that's the proper time to get both the main house hooked up and the new structure. We probably wouldn't address the existing guest house at that time. It wasn't written down. It was one septic comes out. The pole barn is the third septic. There are three septics on the property. So a big multi-purpose structure. It's 46 feet by 60, which we believe will be maintained indefinitely. I probably won't go around the sewer to it. No one ever uses the toilet in the darn thing. And to be truthful, it's sitting there. Okay? So just to be fully in disclosure here, that's probably what we would think about doing. So we've mapped out different places where we can put the structures. There is not a single place where we don't impact trees, guys. There is not a single place in the lot where we don't impact some trees. But this lot is massive. Okay? It is 11.5 acres, and we do not intend on going anywhere near the eastern edge of the lot where the other residences are, which is where the majority of those trees are. Furthermore, we do want to preserve the beautiful view that comes off of the top of the hill down with big, mature oaks and hickories and so forth. And so we're trying our best, but we're going to plan to build it and develop the property. We need to know that we can do that. We need to know that it can be multi-generational for the purposes of both my dad and my stepmom, and then also eventually potentially caretaker, caregiver for either the property or for myself and Dawn. So maybe we're not going to be using the body and we want to have that ability. There are other communities that allow it. They allow caretaker for property, caregiver for people. And those things are structured in such a way that they allow that, and that's what we're seeking here. There's nothing in the UDO that allows it. This thing stands out from the UDO like a big sticker. It doesn't fit at all. The second thing that we probably would do is build a new main house, probably keep the existing main, tear down the guest house, and then from there it's maybe an outdoor basketball court or maybe a fire department spot. So we're not looking to do a lot, but we are looking to do some. And the amount that we're planning to spend is high, which is why it's important for us to have kind of the risk taken out of the what we can do part here, going through the process of the city. Right now it's got exceptions all over itself. It's been there since the 60s as a multifamily estate, in the 50s actually, so 60 years. What we're trying to do is maintain it and then let it grow and develop over time. I think it's anything else. The mayor mentioned estate properties being desirable for certain people. Until the referendum in Franklin went through on schools, my wife and I were looking at Irving Hills. When the referendum went through, we discussed it. We wanted to stay in Franklin. We started contacting landowners directly. There were only a handful who wanted to contact us. And we thought these guys would probably be able to do at least kind of different. Because we didn't want to stay here. We wanted to have our kids in the school system. And we ended up being able to stay there. And the final point on others who have an interest in this sort of thing. It's interesting. I know a couple of people who live in Racine County who don't have their kids in Racine 25. They haven't seen cats or other places because they don't want them in Racine 25. But they put their places to the south, more toward Racine, Union Grove-ish, and a little bit more to the west toward Muskego in some cases, because they could find the property and they could have what they wanted to build. And they built nice places. But I would bet that if this sort of thing existed in Franklin without a lot of friction, the preference would have been a little bit further in the way. And I do know quite a few people who live in Windmills or Princeton States or other places that are pretty nice, but they weren't seeking the same thing. It comes out of family preference. They were seeking a very nice house in a nice subdivision. And there's a big swath of the population that wants that. In our case, we wanted more green space, conserved on our own terms to some extent, right? And the ability to have our kids have lots of trees to really climb and fall off. Questions for you guys? Want me to answer?
No, I was as you were talking, I was just thinking about, Wind Point down in Racine, some very nice homes down by Wing Spread. I go down there for Wells Pizza. You ever go down there for Wells Pizza? Everybody in the world goes down there. It's the sixth best place in the world for pizza. But they have armed guards in the parking lot because the neighborhood is that rough. And when you get near the lake, it's still very nice, but it's pretty clear to anyone that crime has encroached and it's not as safe as it once was. But these individuals that have these beautiful places may be looking to relocate, maybe even to larger facilities, and they'll be looking for good school systems, low crime, lots of green space, but they need an estate. And they just might relocate their businesses while they're doing that. So I think it's just a great idea. I know we talked about it a lot while we were doing the comprehensive master plan. But for one reason or another, we just didn't get it into the zoning. So,
here's one pitch, as you might imagine. We do have a time frame. It doesn't allow this to go that long. So, we really do need to have some sort of a clear understanding by about the end of March. We do have a field delineation study that's planned by Sewer Pack. That's going to take long. We know that. But we kind of need the zoning and do we have restrictions on where we can put our buildings and that sort of stuff figured out. Otherwise, the property owners that exist are being very, very patient, but at some point, they can't be patient indefinitely.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I forgot to bring that up. And so.
We offered it in December, maybe the so it's already taken a little time.
And I might be able to help you there because there was some discussion about workload and demands and priorities and things like that at the the planning staff working on prioritizing things because you have some outstanding issues. But Mr. Deedle did some homework today and he sent me some information regarding information about the quarry monitoring process and the consultant. And it appears that that may clear up some of the workload. Mr. Fowler.
So if I hear this correctly, the passing of the referendum to improve our school district was actually something that did not drive you away but actually attracted you to Franklin?
It was a positive.
I would like to be able to repeat that at many locations whenever I can. So it's something I strongly support, and I've been told that just the opposite was happening, that people would be driven away because of the passing of the referendum.
Yeah, let me explain something. Wherever we were going to go, we were going to pay a pile of property taxes. We're going to go to River Hills, we're going to pay $30,000 a year in property tax. You know that. We're going to pay more once we build more. That isn't the issue. It's would our kids be surrounded in the neighborhood that we like? In this case, it is. It's surrounded by new residential, and we don't want our kids growing up and going to new school. We send them to university school, but we don't want that for them. We want them to be in a community like this one. And so, the passing of the referendum was a positive in our case, and even though it adds tax burden to some extent over time, blah, 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 all that good stuff. So be it. We actually wanted the Forest Park Middle School 1-2, because we have a 6-year-old and, or I'm sorry, an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old. So selfishly, we wanted that, but didn't go.
Working on it. Yeah. And also, in the efforts of full disclosure, my wife teaches in the school system.
Oh.
I knew it.
A couple of other things that the mayor mentioned that were important is we live in the city of Franklin and we are happy with the city services. I have never complained a single time about paying for police and fire or other stuff. The truth of the matter is we've been happy with it. We had a couple of people who were in our backyard that Franklin police came in and swept through our full house. It was rather impressive. Response. You don't get that in Milwaukee.
It's an engineering department that does the problem.
I don't think that's true. Okay, so.
All right, Mr. Ritter.
Well, I'm supportive of this as well. And as a lot of people have spoken about specific situations that this will facilitate. I do think we should remember that this is going to be a zoning class of the city. We think in terms of condominiums being multiple dwelling units within one structure, but it's possible for condominiums to be detached dwellings as well. I'm cautious. Are we always assuming that this is going to be this, whatever each of these parcels is, it's going to be under single ownership? What opportunities could we be creating that someone somewhere down the road might want to take advantage of? So I understand there's just some urgency in getting this done, but I would hope that there'll be an opportunity to think what situations we might be creating possibilities for that we might not want to have, and consider what means should be appropriate even now to help to keep this towards the kind of things we'd like to address, and not open the door to something that we might not want to have at some point down the road. That would be my caution. I am supportive of this. There's a lot of good situations that have been cited here. But let's think this through as we're going through the process.
Mr. City Attorney?
Well, nothing less than I mentioned. This needed to be ran home. That voluntary notice could have been published like today. I've been back here second meeting in March.
Did you hear that?
Good enough.
Okay.
If it makes that schedule, that'll work.
Okay. That's all.
you said end of March, so.
Yeah, no, the reason being is there's reasons for that, but if we sweep by for a few days, we're going to be okay. The deal's going to be solid.
That's assuming it comes out of the
The other thing that's something just came to mind is, Mr. Ritter was talking. In our case, the option that the planning department brought forth for a PDD was acceptable to us, but you know, we're a family for around Walmart, and the potential cost of PDD on our little family was, and the term I gave to Joel was my wife, Monica Rook. She's like, I'm fine about spending $1 million on a pool, but you know, they're going to get the taxes on that darn thing in a year, and PDD is something like that. Pricing. So that can work too. It's faster. It's just a question of is that expensive. And then the other thing in terms of the one lane question, I don't know how it fits in, is, as I said, we do have a field delineation study that we're going to have done. And that's primarily so that we don't go and not understand what the wetlands are in the place. And I don't know that this has to hold up for that. Is that true?
The zoning district creation and application to a property can go before the sewer pack wetlands. You just wouldn't be able to build any new buildings until that sewer pack.
Totally good.
One thing, you probably should get a phase one environmental on the property.
What does that mean?
That screens the property if there's any environmental tanks, leaky oil tanks, other things that consultants do that.
Historical record of any kind of contaminants.
And go through the state records to be sure that somebody can file something that there was a leaky oil tank and there's problems with it. City won't buy anything without a phase one. And then that could, if there was, then that could lead to a phase two, but you probably wouldn't buy the property if it led to a phase two environment.
This is, you're just suggesting to protect us against something that no one is going to thank you for that advice. Priced on environmental engineers going on board.
Phase one is a screening, so it's not terrible.
It's a screening and historical archaeological. It's really done on most property. A property of this size, 11 acres, you would really be protecting yourself. It's a worthy investment to protect yourself of any kind of hazard that might historically be there. You would think to yourself, well, we've owned this property for so long, it really can't be anything there, but you'd be surprised if it's sometimes.
Especially if it's too far. I wouldn't be surprised if it was too far.
The weirdest case was artillery shells.
Nice.
Thanks.
Want to explain that?
Yeah, so that's sort of funny. I took a walk out at the House of Correction and decided that was Park's property with the munitions, or if it was the House of Correction. I think it was the Park's. We found a lot. There's an old Lanky site out there.
Yeah, it's just weird for some of the things you find. Right. It's worthy to have it done.
Okie doke. Anything else?
Any other questions I can answer for you guys?
Thank you.
Well, thanks for staying.
Yeah, drive carefully. next item on the agenda. The report from planning.
This is a copy of the annual report. We've been doing this for the last couple of years. We did present it to the Common Council Tuesday night, and there were no comments or questions. It's just a summary of what we did over the prior year, and there's that to the last 4 or 5 years. Helps us track how many applications we had of each type, helps us prepare the budget, and we do the budget as well. Things to note, I guess, that stand out the most. From the good news standpoint, there's a couple things that have returned back to prior pre-recession levels, because of numbers of things, but it's the small type. Zoning compliances, tenant build-outs, those kinds of things have returned and never did leave much, didn't fall much below prior recession, pre-recession. some of the larger things, special uses and site plans, have dropped significantly below those previous session levels and are slowly creeping back, but we're nowhere near those levels yet. But we are getting slightly better in most of those categories. The big one, the biggest one, is the subdivision plats. We were having 5 or 10 subdivision plats a year before the recession. Since 2008, we haven't had any. Just this past couple months, we started getting inquiries about people interested in doing single-family subdivisions. But more from a standpoint of just looking for opportunities that are out there, no one's picked the property or started working on a plat yet. So we still might have a little bit of time yet before the first one comes. And it's sort of related to that, probably not a surprise because it's happening in many other communities, is we have for the last year or two been getting lots of inquiries about apartment buildings and senior housing. And some of those are starting to show up now. This forest view is one of them. So we expect to see a fair number of those in the next couple of
years. A couple questions for you. First of all, I think the document probably should try and get up on the city's website so that the entire population can see it and be able to draw from it. But you sort of glossed over some things like SNC Electric added 42,000 square feet that Wheaton Franciscan Healthcare is looking at building their flagship hospital in Franklin and having an entire medical complex. Sort of big stuff. The Quick Trip, while not huge, was overwhelming support by all of the businesses in the area for it. And then The Rock, for those of you that have not been over there recently, the entire interior has changed, and it's actually a fully functional restaurant with a bar and big TV screens, and it's clean. Yeah. And they are tubing over there, and the last time I was there, the place was packed. And they have the fences. The fences are around the diamonds. The fields have been laid. Backstops are about ready. The poles are ready to go in. They've graded the property to be the west, close to Hawthorne, for potential future fields and or other complexes they might want to discuss with the city at some point. And so, you know, while it's, people are going, well, it's a baseball field, that's got real potential if it takes off of helping to fill up all of the empty spaces in the other businesses. So it's a big deal. Then you've got Clare Meadows that went from the condos to apartments. I was happy to see Suds go in because I was thinking, a lot of people were thinking, especially people over at Pantheon Restaurant, that could stay vacant and not filled. And while we've got some issues with the Architectural Review Board and the signs, I don't know. We got compliments from the people saying, "Wow, it looks pretty nice." But some things that aren't in your report that you and I talked about today that are, I think, necessary to bring up and to get out to the public is that the Plan Commission and the Common Council approved a 5-story Hilton Hampton Inn, made all phases of it. So that was approved, but then apparently financing could not be arranged. And then there was Fountains of Franklin. Actually, Fountains of Franklin was approved twice by both the Plan Commission and the Common Council, and there was supposed to be a Azura Spa as part of it. And that did not get built because whatever, right? Then we have a development that the Plan Commission approved for a medical complex on 31st and Rawson. the sign is still out there. And then there was a proposal for two medical office buildings, kitty corner from the Rock, over on Old Loomis Road, that in essence got the concept review or approval from the Common Council. So, and Myers was approved, went through. I think for this council it was 5-1, something like that.
Not approved.
Yeah.
We didn't get a site plan.
We didn't approve it.
We didn't get a site plan because they didn't get the DNR.
We approved it. Subject to them getting
the subject.
Well, I thought there were five. There were five of the six approvals for it. I don't necessarily know that that whole issue is completely put to bed. But when you think about the number of things that were approved by both the Plan Commission and the Common Council, I don't know that there's another community in southeastern Wisconsin that came anywhere near that. And then I forgot the Dental Associates building, CVS, Gordon Foods, and not everyone is thrilled with it. The addition to Walmart, every time I go by there, you can't find a parking space. Oh, and what's the sporting goods store that came in? Dunham's, and that's packed. So I think it's important to. There's a lot of misinformation out there that says, well, there really hasn't been a lot of activity. I'd like to see some other community that could actually boast that they had anything near them. And the last part is, today you and I discussed there's a report that just came in, and we're ranked, what, third?
Business Times has an article talking about what they envision the housing market to be like in the metropolitan area this coming spring, and we think it's looking good. And they noted housing studies, how communities have fared just last year to this year, and how much change there's happened. You know, housing starts all across the country, tanked, and it's starting to slowly come back, including Wisconsin, including southeast Wisconsin. And they noted, again, differences between last year, between 2011 and 2012. And Franklin had the third largest increase in housing starts in southeastern Wisconsin from 2011 to 2012. And actually, it's the largest number. So they were looking primarily at percentage, but they also mentioned the number of housing starts, 60. So we had 60 new houses built or permits sold in 2012. That was the most. More than Milwaukee, the city of Milwaukee. Milwaukee only had 56. And that was a decrease from what they had the previous year.
Brookfield's number one, right?
McGuanago.
Who's two?
I remember McGuanago. I want to say it was a Waukesha County community.
Okay.
I'm not sure which one.
And then it's us.
Okay,
but here's the most important data that you gave me today that the plan commissioners may want to, because it's part of your report. That you didn't get it. And that's that. How many available lots do we have left?
Staff did a quick and dirty analysis back at the end of 2011. Looked really closely at all the subdivision plats that were approved, and didn't take a very close look at the unplatted lands or CSMs. But bottom line, our guess, 250 vacant lots at the end of 2011 were available for development. 250. We've chewed up at least 60 of those last year. So we're probably under 200. The last 2 years, possibly the last 3 years, we're averaging close to 50. So if that trend continues, we're looking at 4 years. Now, it won't, because as it gets fewer and fewer, it would be harder to sell because there's probably reasons why they didn't sell. But that still means there's a limited inventory left. And then the last piece of the puzzle is these few inquiries we've had. So single families, developers looking at Franklin, they're starting to realize that too. One of them in particular said they did their own analysis. It's the southeastern Wisconsin communities. And they believe that Franklin is one of the highest, has one of the highest potentials for future single-family residential growth in southeastern Wisconsin.
So we have a problem that we could very quickly run out of lots in the city. If it returns to, I mean, you're going based on the trend. Well, the trend was we had a global collapse. If you go past that 3 years, I mean, how many
the economy significantly improves, it's going to disappear in heartbeat.
So where it was a problem in the past for having too many subdivisions, we're now at a stage where we don't have any.
Interceptor looks pretty good now, doesn't it?
I was just going to say, with the Interceptor coming online, we're going to have potential for more growth. But I still want to keep in mind my issue that we need more businesses in the center part of the school district to kind of take that burden with the new referendum. And the Forest Park Middle School is going to have to be built. And I still think, because of what's that?
We don't forget that.
But I think it was amusing to my ears when he said they came back here specifically because of the first referendum. But the Forest Park Middle School is on the list of things to do.
Yeah. But I
just want to add my personal thanks to the staff. There's been many times when I've called, they've gone out of their way to fulfill any needs I've had. I've nothing but praise for the funds. You're here.
Any others? Nope. So just one.
I think everybody shares that sentiment.
I can't give it to him.
Sorry.
But I do think you should update that, because I'll look to Alderman Solomon, but sometimes there's just way too much doom and gloom and misinformation and many things were approved. Oh, by the way, there was one more, and that was we had a full-blown proposal for the property on the corner of 68th and Rawson, which ran into wetland issues, but nonetheless, we had that proposal.
We had 2,500 possible new office space for people in the residential. Already approved.
Oh, the second building, yeah.
The second and third building.
Yeah.
Or the third and fourth building. Yeah. We got the first and second, but they got the third and fourth, it's already got approved. Just waiting for them to walk in.
Did I see Baptistas in there?
No, I think they were in the previous years. So we give more detailed information about just last year's and less detailed information about
rheumatology clinics?
Yep, that would be an earlier year too.
How about the, Monastery Lakes, the retirement home?
The last phase is mentioned in there.
Well, as I said to you today, Dave Schultz taught me that if you don't tell them, they don't know. And you have to keep telling over and over and over and over and over again. And that's, I know planning historically doesn't do that, but that's what marketing and economic development is all about. Gotta sell the sizzle. Next, anything else on that? Next meeting dates? I lost my date.
Here, the city complete streets. No.
Complete streets?
Complete
streets. I got it.
We have two members. Mr. Fowler is one of them. So we can finally meet. We have a quorum. And our very first job is to get that resolution done and also educate the public so that when this starts happening, got to sell the sizzle so they know what it is we're trying to do.
Just had coffee with the new chairman of the Board of Public Works.
No, I met him as well. We've had some discussions. He likes roundabouts a lot.
He loves them.
It's an education in itself.
We're on streets. Anything else with the streets? Future meetings. I'd like to do two field trips. Now, I don't know. City attorney's going to have to try and figure out how we do those. But I would like to take both the plan commission to Hawaii again. I would like to take them to Altera Coffee in Shorewood on Oakland Avenue. And hopefully we can do it during some daylight hours. And, and show both the Plan Commission, maybe Ford, Franklin, maybe CDA, things that are being accomplished in the village of Shorewood with luxury apartments, storefronts, urban settings, streetscape, TIF districts that are working very well. I just took a tour of Shorewood with the village manager, Guy Johnson, who showed me everything. And I said at the end of the trip, Guy, you should be very, very proud of yourself. It is beautiful, and I think there's a lot of areas in Franklin, especially along Rawson Avenue, and some of the other parts of the of our urban section of the city, and this would be a very, very good fit. It's you live over there, too.
Yeah. We can stop at my house. It's right off the open.
Okay, it's a date. But I don't know how we do that. I know that we've had field trips in the past here. I don't know if we could. I'll have to let the city attorney work on that. But I was at the new Altera Coffee. You've been terrific. All nice dining facilities. Their population, I think, is 13,000. They are accomplishing, in my opinion, miracles. I don't see why Franklin can't do the same thing. It's a pretty good fit, maybe for some of our existing retail centers. This might be exactly what the doctor ordered. And they have 4 coffee shops in Rome. All great coffee shops. And then above that, I think some of the rental places were $2,600 a month, with penthouses going for, I don't know, $5,000-$6,000 a month.
$4,500 to $6,000. My wife's already looking.
Well, right, isn't it?
$4,500.
It reminds me of Santa Barbara. Yeah. And it's, I remember Shorewood being one of the places, you know, you go to the Pig and Whistle for a ballpark special, and then you'd see if there was a dance or something going on in Shorewood. That was a nice place. And they are really doing a great job. So I don't know, maybe we can even get Guy to show up, and I think he's very proud of that, show us around.
I believe the Capitol Drive in particular, which is completely redesigned, built as a complete street, integrated with the open trail pedestrian amenities.
He showed me the trail that goes across.
That wasn't easy or cheap.
And that's something we could. Very important. It's something I would think would be interesting to do in conjunction with the Rock going in, particularly at Rossin and 76. That Capitol and Oakland is exactly some kind of setup we could try to achieve there to get people from the Rock to go into that area by the Walgreens and some of those shops.
You know, I brought that up to the EDC. This will be the third time I brought it up to the EDC. The first two times, it was said we can't support smaller local businesses without supporting like Walmart at the same time. Whereas I was trying to say if you support present local businesses.
I was just asking the city attorney if we were getting a little bit off the agenda item before you came. As soon as you started talking,
I can mention it. Oh, complete streets. We say we're complete streets.
Future meetings. He's the only guy that's got permission to punch me in the arm if we didn't.
With regard to future meetings, just in follow-up to potential new site at Shorewood, perhaps there should be consideration and effort to Capitol Drive and move with any intersection there, and maybe just a few steps to the north for the end of the meeting until the adjournment in Martha.
Right. And might even be able to get the head of the bid district maybe to show up and tell us how they pulled that.
The Lions Pub is also really nice. But I have a future agenda, too. I'm sorry to keep us here, but I've been asked to join a think tank as the flood management advisor for Earth Economics. They're based out of Tacoma, Washington. Is unpaid, so I'm not leaving the district quite yet. I did a presentation for them. I've been with them about 2 months now, kind of learning some of the things. And they have an excellent presentation, very short PowerPoint, about the value, how we value natural resources and how in current economic, how we value things currently in our economic system sometimes undervalues the resources. And Franklin is blessed with a lot of these resources. And if we don't properly understand their value, we may sell them short. So
I'd like to get on the future agenda.
Point. Yeah. And how I would do that, if the Planning Commission would like to see that, I think it might be worth
considering, Doug. Mr.
Griffin? I'm sorry. Is that not
City Attorney is telling me we...
A planning item on the planning agenda would be nice.
Yeah, I didn't bring my glasses. Is there a motion to adjourn?
No.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries.
Let's go, Shovel.